Back to school. Back to school. To prove to Dad that I'm not a fool. I got my lunch packed up. My boots tied tight. I hope I don't get in a fight. Oh, back to school. Back to school. Back to school.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Drive-In Double Feature. We're excited to be back after a couple weeks off for us for recording. Ben and I are catching up. It's really great. As always, I am one of your hosts, Aaron Lopez, and I'm joined by Ben Norsworthy. Ben, how is it going?
Hi Aaron, how are you? Good. I'm actually excited to talk about our topic today.
So Ben has been talking about our topic today, but he's got some for me that he is very excited to share, wouldn't share ahead of time. So I'm looking forward to seeing what is on his list. But Ben, what is our topic today?
Today, Aaron, we are talking about our top five school movies. Since both you and I are teachers and we teach in high school, we are going to keep this. We agreed that there'd be some ground rules to this topic, that we keep it movies only based in high school, because we could probably do a whole nother episode on college movies. But we are going to do our top five school movies. These are movies that are pretty much based at school and involve in the school somehow. Now, if a movie has just one scene where they're at school, that does not qualify. I would say 50% of the film probably has to take place at a school to be on this list. Is that an agreement?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I'm looking at it, and school, it doesn't just take place at a school, but something within the school is a driving factor of the actions of the kids or actions of the students or whatever it might be. So, I'd say that, you know, you could look at some things and saying, well, yeah, the setting drives the plot and whatnot. But I think that you guys will see on our list that the fact that it's a school movie or high school movie is pretty clear.
Yeah. So we made our top five. First, we want to do honorable mentions. You just want to jump right into it?
Yeah, I think that and first of all, I was thinking about this. I think that and I don't know, do you get the same feeling when going back to school where the summer's over and you're like, all right, I'm ready to get back into the classroom?
No.
Okay, so this is just for me then. I have that feeling of like, all right, I'm ready to roll. You know, I usually get to a point where, of course, I like my vacations, but when I return to school, it feels almost like a holiday. Not this year, God knows. But it feels like a holiday season for me, like that, just ramping up the excitement. So I kind of see why can't we have like a going back to school, like where you watch Christmas movies for all of December, or where you watch your Halloween movies all of October, all of August. I'm starting to watch going back to school movies.
I my job's really hard. And I know that just getting started back into school is just one big major task. I mean, once the roller coaster's going, it's okay. But just getting back into school and getting everything organized and seeing summer slowly fade away into fall, it's a little bit difficult, but I don't want to depress anybody. I love my job, by the way. It's a hard transition when you don't have to do nothing for a few months.
That's true. I mean, I am not looking forward to the consistency of having to get up at 6 o'clock or 6:30, whatever it ends up being. So, yeah. But like you said, let's go ahead and jump right in. We have our top five, but we did have some honorable mentions. We'll try to run through these pretty quickly. Ben, what falls into your honorable mentions?
I have three honorable mentions I'll go through quickly. The first one is Cooties. Have you ever heard of Cooties with Elijah Wood, Rainn Wilson, Allison Pill? It is a movie about... Elijah Wood Elijah Wood plays a failed writer who goes back to his elementary school as a substitute. And the child, one of the children in the elementary school, eats a bad lunch because we know how school lunches are. And all of a sudden, we have children infected zombie disease.
So I haven't seen it, but I was looking and I was like, hold on. I remember this one. I just never got around to seeing it. But yes. So this is one I do want to watch. I probably could incorporate into my my zombie class I'm teaching right now. But that's funny. I love that.
Yeah, great concept. Really good actors. Elijah Wood's been doing a lot of stuff with horror movies lately, remaking some stuff and getting some stuff, some projects done. But I found this on Netflix one day and I thought it was hilarious.
Speaking of Elijah Wood horror movies, have you seen Come to Daddy?
No, it's in my save list.
Was one when you said that, I was like, oh wait, hold on. I heard about this one. I need to watch it. I think it's on one of the streaming services. So
I think it's on Amazon.
Is it? Okay. Well, there you go. You guys haven't. If you're a fan of horror movies and you like Elijah Wood, Come to Daddy. It's such a bizarre plot as it is title. So I think you would enjoy it, at least from the trailer.
If you're looking for zombie kids, Cooties is a good one.
Excellent. What else do you have on your honorable mention?
1996, The Substitute with Tom Berenger.
Yeah.
Great action movie. He's a former mercenary, Navy SEAL, that goes and helps his friend to stop all the drugs that are being spun around in school. And he goes in as a substitute undercover, and a good appearance by Mark Anthony as one of the bad guys.
Excellent.
One of the bad students, drug dealers. So this is a movie that you'll find occasionally like on TBS on like a Saturday at like 11:15. It's a good little action movie, and I like it.
Excellent. And you said you had three.
Yeah. One more. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yep.
I'm making it an honorable mention because yes, while him skipping school is the driving force, and there are quite a few scenes in school, especially that famous scene with Ben Stein, when he's going through the voodoo economics. I left it off the list because majority of the film he spent skipping school. So I didn't feel like it cut the list.
Yeah, that one almost broke my list and my honorable mentions, but I'm glad you brought it in. Ferris Bueller's probably one of my just favorite comedies of all time. If I ever had to sit down and really analyze it, it's cracking the top 10 for sure. It might even be top 5.
I mean, I feel like one of the best formulated movies of that time period. Like,
yeah, it's just very well done.
There's not a downbeat in it. Like, you know.
All right. So here's my honorable mentions. I've got four, but the three of them that I'll throw out there really quickly because I think they all kind of do the same thing in different ways. Superbad is one of them. Superbad is. Again, it doesn't really have to do with high school. It's more about the people and what they do outside of it. But I think it's amazing. It's kind of one of those movies that we did talk about during the Judd Apatow profile a few weeks back. And I think Superbad is probably, again, it might be one of those top 10, especially some of the newer comedies. Juno is my number two there. Most people either loved Juno or hated Juno. Like, just with a passion. I remember watching it in theaters, almost immediately wanting to go out and buy the soundtrack and having to wait a couple days because the soundtrack hadn't come out yet. But Juno, again, falls into that same category, Superbad. Not as much about the high school setting or, like, the school itself, but one particular person. And my last one before I get to the one that I just thought of right before we got on to recording. But Mean Girls, that's not the special one, but Mean Girls. Mean Girls, actually one of the last drunk drive-ins that I did before last year, before we kind of taken a hiatus, was Mean Girls. I think Mean Girls has some sort of a cultural place in this discussion of schools. It's got a musical now. It's got, you know, a following. They had a sequel. I think most people try to forget about that. But I think Mean Girls is just, it's kind of one of those iconic films. I think a lot of people, hell, our dog is named after Tina Fey, Rosie Fey, because she was born on October 3rd, which is a reference to one of the more popular offhanded lines on October 3rd, he asked me what day it was. It's October 3rd. So yeah, it's just one of those things that I think that I'll always have a little soft spot for the show. It's funny. It's got a little connection to Rosie. My last one here that I really want to see if you've seen this one. My dad turned me on to this one. My dad loves these old, just not, and I say old, these 70s and 80s random, no one's ever seen them except for the people that saw them in theaters when they came out movies. And this one was, it's called 3 o'clock High. You ever heard or seen 3 o'clock High?
No, sadly, I thought you were going to say something else, but it wasn't that. So,
all right. No, so 3 o'clock High is essentially about a bully, or a kid who keeps getting bullied, and he fights his bully back and he punches him and pisses the bully off. So the bully's saying, you know what, at 3 o'clock, you're mine. And so it's kind of his last day. He feels like, you know what, I'm going to die at the end of this day. This guy's going to beat my ass. I'm done for. And it's just kind of running through that last day. It's really, really well done. Kind of one of those bizarre, it's a 1987, movie. It's got Richard Tyson in it, which most people would remember. Richard Tyson was in Kingpin. He played, I'm trying to remember who he played. He's in Kingpin. He was one of the guys who, I can't remember. He's in Kingpin, the bowling movie. He's in Kingpin. He's in Kindergarten Cop. He's in Black Hawk Down. He kind of looks like Val Kilmer a little bit, but he's,
dark hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got Richard Tyson. He plays the bully. And then Casey Samasco.
He was the boyfriend in Kingpin. He was the boyfriend that was trying to get money.
No, he's not that one. He's the one he's the bartender at the beginning of the movie. Where you've got Woody Harrelson and he's basically running he's the bartender saying, like, you know, you want to run a side bet. He's not in it for very long. Anyways, digress. But Casey Samasco, who basically was in Back to the Future, he was in Stand By Me, but he wasn't like one of those main people. So this is like one of those random movies.
Is this the same Casey from Young Guns?
I don't know if he was.
I think he was in Young Guns. Because me and my friend Chaney back in the day used to love him in Young Guns.
Okay.
He does a lot of directing now and producing.
Yeah, a lot of the actors in here, I mean, Jeffrey Tambor's in it. So he's got a role. You guys would recognize him. Philip Baker Hall, you'd recognize. But outside of that, it's just a bunch of no names. It's a fun movie, but doesn't quite crack the list. So.
Okay. Well, let's get to the top five.
Yes.
Would you like to go first? Your number five.
Sure, because my number five kind of cheats a little bit because it does go outside of high school, but a major portion does take place in high school. My number five is Billy Madison.
Okay.
Billy Madison to me is, I think it's Adam Sandler's best movie with maybe Happy Gilmore a close second. I think those two are my two favorites, and they can, depending on the day, I'd say one's better than the other. But Billy Madison, I love that it pokes fun at the entire system, school system from top to bottom, from preschool and kindergarten up through high school. And I mean, for me, these types of movies always lend themselves to lists of iconic lines, lines that live longer than the movie in some cases. Stop looking at me, Swan. The back to school song. Like, I absolutely love when he's standing around waiting to go back. I've sung it multiple times on the first day of school to my kids not having any idea. Well, when I first started teaching, they knew. But now I sing it, none of my kids have any idea what I'm doing. To O'Doyle and the Today Junior. I mean, hell, top to bottom, I think it's hilarious. I think it's Adam Sandler's best movie. And it's got Veronica Vaughn. I mean, how could you not love a movie with Veronica Vaughn? So. Yeah,
and it's got a cast of who's who from Saturday Night Live during that time period. What's your favorite line from it? Like, if you had to pick one line from it, I mean, you're right. It's like Happy Gilmore, where there's just quotable line after a quotable line. So, what from Billy Madison? What is your go-to line?
Oh man, I would say that I probably quote. There's a couple. The chlorophyll, more like borophyll.
Yeah.
I love that line. Anytime I walk by a science room at school, biology, if they're doing that and I hear chlorophyll, I chuck it in because the teacher who teaches it has kind of got the same humor as me. But yeah, that or the back to school song. I love him singing back to school. Yeah, it's just so fucking funny.
I think for me, it's the pee in the pants.
If pee in your pants is pants cool. Pants is
cool. Consider me Miles Davis. Like, I think that's just. I love it.
It's so good. I mean, yeah, it's really, good. You can watch that movie any time of the day, and it's just going to make you laugh.
And I think it doesn't. I don't think you're cheating here with it. I mean, the main focus of the film is for him to graduate school.
Yeah, he's got to go back, and he's got to do it all over.
I would say more than 75% of the movie is spent in school. So,
well, and I'd even say I think that I love the in the middle of the movie the kind of almost montage moment where they do the song. You know, do you have any more gum? More gum? I mean, hell, this one probably should have been higher. I could quote the whole movie if you get me going on it.
Yeah,
and like I said, an awesome cast. Not only SNL, but you've got the cast is got what's his name, Bradley Whitford as kind of the villain. Bradley Whitford's amazing in this. So yeah. Absolutely love it. That's my number five.
All right, my number five. Now, before I preface this with my list, two things. One, I have not told Aaron my list.
So nothing.
He has no idea what my list consists of, but I will say this, that my list, nothing will repeat itself. My list is going to be totally different from Aaron's. Two, I will have no, what I like to call white savior movies on my list, where that's where the white teacher comes into an urban setting school and teaches the kids that there's more to live for than gangs or whatever it is.
So no Freedom Riders?
Yeah, those movies don't sit very well with me nowadays because really, I mean, it's you could go with Freedom Riders, you could go with Dangerous Minds. Those are very white savior type movies. Those haven't aged very well for me. So my number five is 2017's Fist Fight with Charlie Day and Ice Cube.
Okay, yep.
That movie, the first time that Devin and I watched that movie, we laughed so hard because a lot of the things that they were doing. And I don't remember, was it the last day of school? I think set on the last day of school, and teachers might be getting riffed, and senior pranks were going on. And I'm like, some of the shit that they were doing, I was like, oh my God, now that I'm a teacher, that's what that's like. I mean, they had the horse out. I think my favorite part of the movie, besides Charlie Day was fantastic in it. But I think my favorite part of the movie is how the seniors kept pranking the principal. So they had a mariachi band come to the school and follow the principal around everywhere he went, which I thought was hilarious. Couldn't get away with that today, but it was hilarious. And it's got a really good cast in it.
You want to know something really funny about Fist Fight?
Sure.
When it came out, talk about amazing that I just thought of this movie before we started, and I did not know your list at all. People said, oh, Fist Fight's just 3 o'clock high, but it's the teachers instead of the kids. And it is. So it's, I mean, like, granted, they're very different movies, but the premise is like, oh, like Avatar is very similar to Dances with Wolves. Like, people can say, well, you've seen it before. But yeah, so if you haven't seen 3 o'clock High, you kind of have if you've seen Fist Fight. It's just instead of Ice Cube and Charlie Day, it's Buddy Ravel and whatever his name is the kid getting beat up.
But that last 15 minutes of the fight is hilarious.
Yep. Oh, it's such, it is a really so funny movie.
So good. And Tracy Morgan's in it. It's just really good. It's really good. So that is my, you know, from a teacher standpoint, not a student standpoint, I could really relate to Fist Fight. Not that I would fight other teachers in my building, but just like how they set up the atmosphere of the school, the student interaction between teachers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right. Number four for me. This is one of those that I grew up with. Again, what my dad, a lot of these movies were ones that I watched because of my dad. But number four comes in at Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Fast Times, most people probably, your casual moviegoer has not seen this.
You think?
I think most, well, I'd say, okay, casual moviegoer my age.
I feel like those are, is that an age joke?
That was.
Dick. Because I was about to say, I feel like most people, I feel like it's one of those movies that you at least have to see once because it's so rooted in high school and in comedy legend, like of comedy movies, that you have to at least see it once. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm too old.
I don't know. I would agree with you. I just think that Fast Times, so the reason why it's on my list, I mean, it's 1982. So clearly it's an 80s movie. But I think that, like, Fast Times, for how good it is, it doesn't get the same attention as as a lot of other, I don't want to give away too many of them quite yet, because we'll start talking about them. But I think that, like, okay, here's what I love about it. I think that Spicoli and Sean Penn's role of Spicoli is iconic. I mean, everybody knows that kid who just goofs off. Everybody loves him, but you also kind of hate him. Like, that is an iconic, extremely well-cast role. On top of that, Judge Reinhold, Phoebe Cates, I think that, you know, the cast itself is very well put together. Forrest Whitaker is even in it. But I think that the reason why it doesn't get as much love is because it's really not... It's a little older. It's in that early 80s, and a lot of other movies that have come out are after that, and I think they just take the spotlight. But if you're looking at, you've probably seen, if you've watched Family Guy, or if you've seen, SNL, any of these things, any of these shows that take inspiration from something else, you've seen spoofed material from Fast Times. It is such an iconic movie.
Yeah.
With a great cast. And it really does show a little bit more of not just the humor of going to high school, but some of the drama. One of the things,
like the abortion scene.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, like, you've got the girl who gets basically, who meets this guy who she's really liked for a while, and they have sex in the dugout. It lasts all of 10 seconds. And she's like, what the hell happened there? And then she actually is pregnant. She has to get an abortion. It's a very serious movie for being so funny.
Yeah. I mean, but those are teenage issues. I mean, there are very funny moments in the movie, but there are also some very heavy movies. So what's your favorite scene from that? I'm going to ask these with these iconic movies, because, you said, Billy Madison or Fast Times, they just have these iconic scenes that are burned into our heads.
I mean, I think the one that stands out is the Phoebe Cates pool scene, because of how funny it is at Judge Reinhold getting walked in on.
Yeah.
That's probably the most iconic. I think my favorite scene, though, is Spicoli when he's banging the shoe against his head and he's talking to his friend. He's just stoned out of his mind. He bangs the shoe up against his head and he's like, that's my head. Because I had a friend in high school who loved that movie so much that he would do that. The kid would just bang his head up against a wall and say, he lost, points off of his GPA every time he did it. But I'd say that. Ultimately, too, I think one of the little trivia things that most people don't realize is this was Nicolas Cage's, one of his first movies. He's actually not even credited as Nicolas Cage. He still has his old name of Coppola. He doesn't even have a line. He's just one of the guys that hangs out
Anthony
diner.
Edwards, too. Eric Stoltz are in it. So it's very early. I think my favorite scene is, I always like the interactions between Spicoli and Mr. Hand.
Oh, yeah.
And when he rips up that thing and he's like, oh, you dick. And he, like, orders a pizza in the middle of the class, or at the end where John Reinhold stops that robber and he just walks right out in the middle of the store and he's like, Hamilton, all right. Like, it's,
yep.
It's weird to see him as that now and see as Sean Penn is now with his Oscars and his accolades. But it's like, he got on the map with that role.
Yeah, I mean, and that was, it's so weird because he is just so drastically different now. I mean, if you were to see Sean Penn in this, most people wouldn't even recognize him other than the fact that it kind of looks like him. But I mean, the long hair, you kind of got to pay attention, because if you're not really paying attention, you're not going to recognize him. So very well done first role. Not first role, but iconic role that really, you said, put him on the map. What's your number four?
My number four is going to be 1987's Summer School with Mark Harmon, Christy Alley, Dean Cameron, Courtney Thorne Smith. Did you ever see Summer School?
I'm looking it up because I'm trying.
You have not seen familiar. Summer School. Oh my God. Okay.
Mm-mm. No, I haven't.
I really hope that people out there are listening. So basically, Mark Harmon plays this gym teacher who has these big plans for summer, and the vice principal pins him at the last minute on the last day of school and has him teach a summer school class full of misfits and that can't pass the state regulated test. And so he has to spend all summer trying to get them to pass a test. And Of course, the class is full of all kinds of different characters and things like that. He even hosts a party at his house, and then his students set his couch on fire. You know, a lot of things that teachers can relate to nowadays, right?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's a really good movie. It's very lighthearted. It's very lighthearted. But yeah, I remember seeing this at a very early age, and I was like, "This is so funny." I was like, "Is this what teaching is like?"
Carl Reiner too.
Yep. It's got that. Kelly Jo Minter is in it. Shawnee Smith. A lot of people from the 80s and 90s. But it's a really good movie. It's I feel like you could relate to it. He plays a gym teacher. He falls in love with Christy Alley while she was getting ready to do Cheers. She plays an English teacher, and it's just good. It's, you know, something that no teacher ever wants to do is teach summer school, no matter how much money they throw your way. But it's a really good movie. It's short, sweet, and to the point.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah, that one I have not heard of even, which is odd because usually Carl Reiner movies I've at least heard of, because that group. But I'll check it out. It sounds pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So Summer School, 1987. What is your number three?
All right, before I tell you, I'm going to just tell you one of the most iconic lines, and you're going to get it right off the bat. All right.
So Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused. I fucking love this movie. This is one that, here's what I will say. The only thing that I can say poorly was done in this was not necessarily the casting, because I think it's a perfect ensemble cast. None of the people in the movie look like they are in high school. Except for the kids who are supposed to look like they're just becoming freshmen. The eighth graders who become freshmen. I mean, you've got the only person who seems to fit is Ben Affleck as a super senior. Everybody else seems like, ooh, yes, they're seniors, but like Parker Posey at that point in her career didn't look like a high school girl.
Cole Hauser did not look like a high school student. You have these really big guys.
But the cast, I mean, is amazing. It's a great cast of a mix of your best your 90s up and comers and kind of your established, like Ben Affleck's in it, Matthew McConaughey's in it. It's
Jason London.
Yeah. Oh man, I forgot about him. So 1993. So you're
kind of looking at a lot of people did. So don't feel bad.
Mila Jovovich is in it. Man, I'm trying to remember everybody. I'm looking it up, see if I can forget anybody. Parker Posey. Adam Goldberg is in it. Joey Lauren Adams. Anthony Rapp. If you're a fan of your musicals, Anthony Rapp from Rent. Just a really, really well done movie. Now, what I think I like about it the most is it doesn't focus in on one group. This movie shows you the entire high school spectrum of students. Shows you your jocks. It shows you your burnouts. It shows you your preppy girls. It shows you your, it's got the transition. It deals with hazing, which in the 80s, and when this is 70s and 80s, hazing was a major issue. And I guess issue is not for those who were hazing, but those who were, being hazed. I remember even when I was in high school, it was still a concern that you would have hazing, but you don't really see it nearly as much as you used to. But I absolutely just love the cast, the like you said, if you're probably going to ask me what's my favorite part. Is that going to?
No, I was actually going to debate you whether this was a high school movie or not.
Oh, well, okay. So here's why I would say it's a high school movie.
Okay, go ahead.
It's more about the transitioning with high school. So you have you've got transition of, it's the summer, that idea of it's the last day of school. It is the eighth graders transitioning into high school. You have your juniors transitioning to seniors. And that idea of like, you know what, this is what I've been waiting for. We had to eat shit when we were freshmen, and now we're going to make everybody else do it. And then also that idea of, with, like you said, with Paul London and all of the jocks of, hey, next year's our year. And it's all revolving around, like, remember the whole time they're trying to get him to sign the pledge that he's not going to do any, he's not going to smoke. He's not going to do anything. And he's like, just sign it. You can do whatever you want. Just sign it. And it ends with everybody on the 50-yard line. Like, they're all out there, and it's got that experience of, even though it's going into the summer, they're still thinking about next year. They're still thinking about that. I mean, you would definitely have a case to say that it's not. I would
you've made a pretty good argument. I will say, you know, there's other times where I would just, you know, demolish you. But, I mean, you made a pretty good argument. I was just wondering, like, is it more of a teenage coming of age movie instead of a high school movie? But, you know, you made a good point. I mean, I concede you presented your case very well.
I will say the one other thing I said, there was only one thing I didn't like about the movie. There were two. The kid who plays like, I don't remember. It's a little brother with the long straight hair. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if I can find him on here. I didn't like him, but in general, the worst part about it was every 10 seconds, Mitch Kramer, he's grabbing the bridge of his nose. It's like, he's so mad and he gets upset with something and he just does this like, oh, like he just pinches the bridge of his nose all the time. If you watch the movie, look for it. He does it every 10 seconds. I don't know how the director allowed it to happen. Just stupid. But outside of that, I absolutely love it.
All right. I agree with you. You made a good case.
So, all right. What is your – and Matthew McConaughey is so good.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. What is your number three?
My number three is 1976 Carrie. You know I had to add a horror movie in here. I think Carrie is the ultimate – you know, we had talked last week about like movies like The Faculty and mm-hmm. stuff like that, things. I think Carrie is the OG of that. I mean, it's – I think it's a lot, high school has a lot to do with it because, you know, she is picked on in school. She is not fitting in at school. She's trying to adjust to school to be normal, even though she doesn't come from a normal family with the way her mother treats her. And it ends with her killing most of her classmates at the prom. I mean, I don't know, what is more school than that. Your thoughts on Carrie? Have you seen Carrie?
Yes.
Your thoughts on it?
I think it's very well done. I'd even say to some extent the remake was okay. Not better by any stretch, yeah. But it was still, you know, it was nice. But yeah, I think that, you know, the thing with Carrie is it's ironic because Carrie's honestly all about hazing too. So your number three kind of focused on that a bit. When I think of Carrie, you know, there's the only thing that I think of is probably the last, you know, what, 20 minutes. Yeah. I think that everybody kind of forgets what built up to that. I think that, you know, and I also always find how interesting of the age between Sissy Spacek and Piper Laurie. They were actually like, it was supposed to be mother and daughter, but they're only like 3 years apart or something drastic. I'm gonna see if I can find it while we're wrapping it up. But yeah, the whole connection there I thought was just so well done on both of their parts to realistically portray a mother and daughter, despite the fact that their ages were so similar.
What I liked about it was it's metaphoric meaning behind it. You know, she is a young girl going through high school, not fitting in. If you remember, I think in the first like 5 to 10 minutes of the film, you know, she's in the shower and she accidentally gets her period. And, mm-hmm. you know, as teenagers are, they are not very accepting and they make fun of her and things like that. So it's a very like this idea of not fitting in high school and then taking drastic measures to exact revenge on mm-hmm. that. When, you know, you got the characters of John Travolta and oh my God, who's the other lady? Nancy Allen, who was in RoboCop, who, of course, at the end, pulled the horrific prank of dumping the pig's blood on her as she's being crowned prom queen. It's kids are shitty. Kids can be shitty. I think this movie's a reminder that no matter what decade you're in, that kids can be really shitty to each other in high school, no matter what the circumstances are. And, you know, they get their comeuppance. You know, she, I think, like you said, that last 20 to 25 minutes is probably one of the best scenes in horror films. Because when I first saw it, I didn't see it coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just to the extent of the scene and everything that she does, I was like, oh, my God, this is happening.
Yeah. It's that snapping moment that you hear about, you know, you're going to drive him crazy. You're going to make him snap. Yeah, I think, well, and also too, so I'm looking and it was, she was 29 when she played the role, Sissy Spacek. So she's almost 30 years old and she's playing very convincingly a high schooler.
Yeah, and it's, and for 1973, that was intense.
That was, I think that it's was intense, intense even to some extent even today.
Yeah, especially with everything that we try to do with like bullying and things like that. It's, yeah, it's pretty intense. So that was my number three. I had to put a horror movie on there.
I don't blame you. And thank you for not putting The Faculty on, because we talk about it, but The Faculty is not a good movie.
No, it's not.
It's pretty bad. I mean, it's an interesting concept, but then you say how they do it and you're like, oh, okay. Well, this is,
and then the
this
ending, is definitely the ending, a 90s ruined movie. It for me. The ending was like, oh, okay. You just, it seems like you had to wrap that shit up quickly.
Yeah.
What's your number two?
Number two, this was tough because I almost made this one number one. So the reason why I'm a teacher is to a lot of things, but one movie really has not only an impact on how I teach and my style, but like it just resonated with me when I, you're going to know it right off the bat. It resonated with me. First time I saw it was in 10th grade. It might've been 11th. I think it was 10th grade. And we're sitting here and we're watching it because we're studying Whitman. And I'm sitting and I'm like, okay, this is cool. I want to do this. So my number two is Dead Poets Society.
I knew looking at your list that you were going to say, this influenced me to become the English teacher that I am today.
Like I said, it almost topped the list because now I don't see myself necessarily as, as Robin Williams. I'm not trying to swoop in and like save these kids. But it's in the way in which he talks about
a subject.
Yeah, in literature and specifically poetry, because I've always been a huge fan of poetry. And a lot of people don't like it, especially my students. They just don't get into it. And when I look at how I fell in love with poetry, it's really for the same reasons that how Williams talks about it as Keating, where he talks about like, there's beauty in the world and there's ways in which we can talk about this beauty and we can explain it in words that mean something more than just words. And whenever I talk about it, I get into this like passion about, you can look at some poems and they're really cheesy and they're like sing-songy nursery rhymes. But you can get into some heavy stuff with some of what Whitman wrote. I'm a huge sucker for Walt Whitman, Poe and some of the darkness that he portrays. I get into poetry and I think it's Dead Poets Society. I've also wanted desperately to create a Dead Poets Society in some form. I've gotten over it just because I don't think any group of students are going to love poetry as much as I. But I would have liked to have gotten a group of people together who just appreciate it. We can talk about poetry. I was born into the wrong age, or I think that it would have been better had I been, Tolkien and how he and his friends would just go and sit at a coffee shop and sit around and drink coffee in a saloon almost, and or a pub, not a saloon. That's the Wild West. But the sit in a pub, drinking coffee, and they would talk about poetry. So I love it. I think that this.
Go ahead. Can I tell you something so you're not ashamed? I've never seen that movie. I've never seen Dead Poets Society. I thought it looked boring. I was like, yeah, I'm not into that. I mean, I like Robin Williams.
Amazing guy.
I have seen. Have you seen the SNL skit that they did about Dead Poets Society last year?
No, I don't
think
so.
They did a skit on Saturday Night Live where they had the guy portraying like the character Robin Williams does, mm-hmm. and he's being fired. The fan cuts off the arms of the students and there's blood everywhere and he's like, well, I'm gonna go now.
Yeah, I did see that.
I've never seen it. I'm sorry.
You need to see it because not only I think you would really, knowing how you teach and like your connection to students, it's not a cheesy movie. Like if you just sit and you observe it, it's really heavy too. I mean, there are moments of it where it just strikes you, especially too, because you teach as long as Ben and I have, and we're not even, that seasoned, but you get into it 5-10 years and you see students who are so heavily influenced by their parents for better or worse. You see it, where sometimes students just don't do what they want to do. Or you see them do what they want to do and not get the support of parents. And then again, you do see them, very supportive parents who let the kids do whatever they want to do. But this one really hits because it's all these kids are sent to a boys' school. to be the best they can be, and really study the literature and know it in and out. And then you get a teacher that says, get rid of the book, literally get the book out of here. Let's start talking about things in your sense and how you see it, how you can relate to it. So the power of teaching, albeit in a very outdated way, I think, but I still definitely powerful.
I'll watch this if you watch Summer School.
Oh, I want to watch Summer School. I love Carl Reiner movies. So
no, I'm saying, I've seen it on like HBO on reruns or TBS or something, and I'm just always like, it looks boring. I'm pretty sure there's something better on. But if you're saying it's inspirational,
then you gotta maybe sit. You gotta watch the whole thing, because also too, I feel like the type of teacher that you and I are, and like you know what I mean by that. You'll see a little bit of a John Keating in you. You just, it's going to be there.
Okay.
You know, I think you'll appreciate it. What's your number two?
Okay. My number two is 1990s Kindergarten Cop.
Thank you.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Penelope Ann Miller and Pamela Reed and Linda Hunt from the CSI and our guy that we talked about again, Richard Tyson. So that's twice now that his name has come up in this podcast. This is a classic. I don't know how you could not like this movie. I think this is one of the first movies that you can really see that Arnold Schwarzenegger had. I mean, granted, either you like Arnold Schwarzenegger or you don't, but I think this is really where he shows that he can have comedic chops and not just be somebody that shoots a gun and beats up people. This is a great movie, and I will watch this anytime it's on. Like, there's any good starting point for it. You can just jump right into it. It's to me believable, even though he's still this big hulking guy. It's believable. It's just an overall good movie, and the kids are great in it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. There's the little kid. I'm seeing if I can find the actual actor, because if you see his face from like the 90s, and you're like, oh yeah, it's that kid. He's probably looks the same. Miko Hughes. I'm trying to see what else his kid's been in.
Was he in Freddy's New Nightmare? Yeah,
New Nightmare. He was in Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kid. Oh man.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
I mean, I absolutely love this movie's so good because of the tumor line. That line alone, you win.
Yeah, that whole scene where he's asking, trying to find out what the parents do so he could find who this child is, so he could catch the criminal. That whole scene where, like, you know, our mom, you got the twins that are like, our mom says our dad's a real sex machine, and and just the kids have such great one-liners in this. To me, it's a believable movie. I mean, it's just, I think it's an overall good movie. And it, I mean, it gets towards the end there for the last 20 minutes of the movie, it gets a little heavy.
Yeah, it really does. Arnold
Schwarzenegger is not kicking somebody's ass. I mean, he gets shot and he's taken out on a stretcher at the end of the movie in front of the kids. And that's like heavy stuff for 1990.
I remember, so I was looking, I'm looking through here, and it's what happened to the kids from Kindergarten Cop. And the little girl who couldn't undo her overalls, the girl from Beethoven, the little redhead.
Yeah.
She's in it. I mean, you have a lot of kids who, well, actually, Jason, do you know Jason Reitman, right?
Yeah.
He's in it because it's actually his dad directed it. But yeah, you've got a lot of pretty good kid roles in here. Not many of them grew up to do a whole lot. And I'm looking through, and I don't really see a whole lot. But and then you got the twins, the creepy twins with the side ponytail.
I like about it is that, you know, we've been this whole discussion that we've been having, it's mostly high school movies,
mm-hmm.
where this movie kind of touches on something that most of us as high school teachers would never touch with a 50-yard stick is teaching kindergarten.
Yeah.
Kindergarten, because that's a whole nother show within itself of teaching is kindergarten and like preschool and first grade and stuff like that. So it's a good movie, and it's movie fun that you can watch with your kids. And they would enjoy it, and it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's definitely it's one of those that I remember growing up with. I mean, 1990 is when it came out, so I remember by the time it came out to VHS, my family had bought it, and I burned the hole in that tape. I watched it so much, so Very good. I'm glad you put it on there because I talked about it and I didn't end up putting it on mine. So.
Yeah, I had to. It's got a soft spot. What's your number one? Here it is. Drum roll.
All right. So my number one, and I think Ben's going to agree with me to some extent, but my number one here is Breakfast Club. Breakfast Club comes in at one because while I know that looking back on it now, it probably is not the best representation of students. It is, for the time, I think it was the perfect representation for students. And I think it gives the best slice of high school groups. Now, I teach at an independent school, and cliques are not so much a thing. You'll see your student groupings and friends and whatnot. But anybody who goes to a public school, you see your jocks, you see your nerd kids, or your theater kids, or your band kids. You see the goths, you see the burnouts. Like, they may not look the same as they do in Breakfast Club, but they're there. Big enough public school, generic public school, they're going to be there. They were there in my high school. They were there in high schools I taught at before coming over to Ohio. That's just kind of how it sorts out. I think Breakfast Club does an amazing job of showing those groups, but then not only that, but on top of it, they really show you that you never know what's going on in someone else's world. And that's something that as a teacher, I've come to embrace of saying, you know what, you don't know what that kid's going home to. You don't know what they're bringing with them on their mind. You cannot make an assumption. Now you reach out and you do your job and you find out the kid's just not doing their work and they're just being lazy. All right, you know, do what you got to do. But, you know, that's a different story. I think that this does a fantastic job of showing, I mean, Bender's whole monologue. And that, in fact, that entire monologue the group scene where they're sitting around just talking about stuff. It's just iconic. Absolutely love it. And again, you can't forget, Don't You by Simple Minds. Probably one of the more iconic single soundtrack songs to a movie. You hear that song and there's not a single person who hears it that doesn't think Breakfast Club.
Yeah, so, you know, I wanted our list to be different. So I have a different number one, but I'm pretty much on agreement with you that if we had to combine our list, that Breakfast Club should be number one. One, to me, it is the quintessential high school movie. No matter what decade you're in. I mean, those roles can be related back to the 70s, 50s, 30s. It's just how you interpret it. Two, it's, I think, the only movie that we talked about in our list that takes completely place at a high school for all of its scenes.
None of mine fit that outside.
Neither of mine. Cause in Fistfight, he goes to the Apple store and they have that whole scene, but yeah, it's the only movie that 100% takes place at school. I show this in my sociology class. My students, they think like, oh my God, it's from the 80s. It's so old. My mom talks about this movie. And then by the end, they love it because they are able to identify with these characters. And that, to me, is the magic of John Hughes, who wrote, and I believe he directed this.
Wrote and directed,
And cast the actors. That's what makes John Hughes like one in a million when it comes to this type of stuff. He knew how to write dialogue for teenagers. The dialogue in this and the characters in this felt like teenagers that we would see even in school today. And I think that's, you know, one of the great things about John Hughes and this movie and this cast. I feel like it's cast perfectly. I don't feel like you could really replace anybody at that time period with anybody else in that cast. It's just... It's in rare air, you know what I'm saying? Like as far as movies, teenage movies, if that high school school movies, it's just really, it's really got a nice shine to it, because it's relatable. Like I said, I show this to my students, and even though this was made in the mid 80s, they are still able to relate to it today.
Well, not only that, you know, I look at the success of the movie and the longevity and the legacy essentially that it has. The movie was made for $1 million, which, I mean, it was not a big production company. It's not a big group of people. You've got your Brat Pack from what I could remember, most of these, I don't remember the timing of this in comparison to some of his other movies. But I know that not all of them, so let's see, Breakfast Club comes second, 16 Candles. So you've got Anthony Michael Hall and Molly Ringwald as being kind of, known commodities at this point, a couple years before, or 1 year before that. So they definitely benefited from that. But I'm not so sure that like Ali Sheedy and Emilio Estevez, Judd Nelson, I don't know if these guys were really in as much before this.
No, I think you have Emilio Estevez who was in the Outsiders. Judd Nelson was doing little bits, parts, and stuff like that. So this put one, it made a shitload of money. Is still making money and residuals. And then it put a lot of people on the map. And really, one can make the argument this is the movie that created the Brat Pack.
Well, it did. I would say it did. If you want to go back any further, you can maybe make an argument for 16 Candles as the start, but that's just the that's some of the roots. This is the first time you actually bring the majority of them together, which then they go on make, you know, St. Elmo's Fire. And yeah, so I think I would say this is what starts it.
Yeah, and this is a classic. And this is a movie that you could really find if you have TV channels. They air it a lot. It's a movie that you see. It's a rewatchable. They show it a lot. So yeah, this is to me, this is the quintessential teenage high school movie.
All right. What's your number one?
Do you want to take a guess?
I don't know. I mean,
I know I've been all over the place.
You have been. You've done some ones that I've heard of before. You've done some ones that I have no idea. I've never heard of before. I don't know. I don't have anything.
I am going with my number one school movie. Is one that everybody from my age to your age have probably seen, is 1989's Lean on Me. Morgan Freeman, Joe Clark, Principal Joe Clark. Everybody has had to seen this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a quintessential bad urban school where a principal, a no-nonsense principal comes in, Morgan Freeman, who is fantastic at the role, comes in and is going to clean up the school, get out the drug dealers, and get kids on the right path. It is one of those inspirational movies, you know, that kids, you know, to me, the underlying meaning is if you get the right people in charge and you give kids like that an opportunity, that they can perform just as well as other kids in other schools.
Yeah.
Which I guess is one of the reasons why I like teaching in an urban school, because I feel that I can sometimes provide that opportunity for students to shine. And sometimes that's all a student needs is to a moment to shine, to get the fires lit.
Yeah. I think I love Freeman in the role. You know, and I'm glad you went drama here because I mean, Breakfast Club's drama. It's got some humorous lines in it, but I'd say it's overall, it's a drama. But a lot of times is that you like you said, the white knight kind of a teacher that can be seen in your Freedom Riders and, what's the one with Michelle Pfeiffer?
Dangerous Minds.
You get a lot of those. You know, they happen often, too often at times. And I think that this is a good example. The only other one I would have thought you would have put here might have been Stand and Deliver.
No, and that's what Devin had down on her list. That's why I had her make a list so I could kind of bounce some ideas. Stand and Deliver, I think, was number two. And I think her number one was Harry Potter. but we talked about that beforehand.
Yeah, see, I'm not going to Harry Potter.
School. Yeah. But yeah, to me, like what you're going off, what you're saying though, like what I mentioned earlier, I wasn't going to have any like white savior type movies where the teacher comes into the school and fixes things for these urban kids. They could have easily gave this role to a white person.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But they didn't. They specifically cast an African American. I believe this is based on somewhat of a true story. So they kind of had to do with that too, but they cast Morgan Freeman. He's fantastic. The opening scene, like the first 10 minutes, is a little startling because they're just like, they're playing Guns N' Roses and like all hell's breaking loose in the school and people are being tossed through windows and everything's graffitied with spray paint. And then, of course, like you naturally see, he starts to actually do good stuff at the school. He actually starts to turn the school around and the parents are fighting him and the school board's fighting him. And it's like, you know what? That's true. That happens in every school district in this country.
Yeah.
Where it's like you get a little success and it's like, well, that's not status quo and we need to have status quo.
That's a good pick. That's a solid pick.
I mean, it's just a good movie. I think at that time is probably somewhat of a loose portrayal of urban high schools. in the cities. But you know, it's one of those movies you can show in class and be like, look, this is, you know, we want to make a school better. And it's one of those things that you kind of see in school districts that are failing around the country now, that if you get the right people in place, schools can thrive.
Exactly.
It just depends on the people. So do you have a favorite scene from this?
Not particularly. No.
I like it when he chains the doors. I like it when he chains the doors and he's got everybody on walkie talkies. And he's like, if the fire chief shows up, call me and we got to unlock these doors because he could go to jail. So I think that's my favorite part.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you gotta, because the reaction to that was he was keeping the drug dealers out of the school.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was telling the school board, the only way that I'm able to do this is to chain the damn door shut. So yeah, that's my number one.
So now I'm thinking about it. What would you have said if I put Sister Act 2 as being on my
you
list?
Son of a bitch. I literally said that to Devin 10 minutes before I came in here and set my computer up. I said, maybe I should add Sister Act 2 back in the habit on here because she is teaching choir at a Catholic school.
It's true.
I literally said that 10 minutes before, and she just kind of rolled her eyes at me.
I don't know. You're talking about Lean On Me, and I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I really liked Sister Act 2. Like, not many sequels are better than the first. This one, it's not even close. Like, the first one's okay. It's fine. It's not bad. But Sister Act 2 just changed the game for the Sister Act franchise. The two-movie franchise.
You know, I was also going to say the principal with James Belushi, who, like, rides a motorcycle through school.
Oh, geez.
Hits people with bats and stuff. But I was just going to leave that off. But it's funny that you said Sister Act 2, because I literally said that to Devin 10 minutes before we started this podcast.
That's funny. That's funny. All right, so that's it for us. I had fun putting this together. It was cool, especially since we're going back to school. Made me think of some of those movies. Lord knows I really don't have any time to watch any of them, but I've got a couple. Summer School, and I want to go back and watch Kindergarten Cop too. I love that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So next week, Ben and I have actually talked this out. We know what we're going to do. We got some homework to do over the next few days. But it's been a while since we've done a profile. An actor profile we've never done, but then we did a profile last time on Judd Apatow. This week, next week, we are going to be doing a profile on Leo, Leonardo DiCaprio. So we were talking about it, and I mean, there's so many movies that he has done. I mean, from starting out with What's Eating Gilbert Grape, all the way up to more recently with The Revenant and Wolf of Wall Street. And hell, I feel like he's been in some other things since.
Once upon a time.
Yeah. I was trying to remember. I was like, there was that one. It was pretty good. So yeah, we'll talk about him. We'll talk about his career. We'll talk about the highs and lows, when he should have won his first Oscar and when he finally did. So I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's, we were talking about before we started this, it's like he's one of those actors. Who could we really talk about? He's one of those actors that most people, like, if he's in something, I'll go see it.
Yeah, because honestly, I don't think he's been in a bad movie. Like, you know, once he started establishing himself, I don't think he's really put himself out there in a movie that was like, he's doing it for the money. Like, he just latches on to good scripts. That's just what he does for his whole career. Well, most of his career.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of movies to go through, too. It'll be, like, this week, it'll be hard to kind of narrow it down. What is our favorite? What is our least favorite? But it should be an interesting discussion.
Absolutely. Ben, what are you watching this week?
Well, you have ordered me to go watch not only that Robin Williams movie that I've already forgotten the name about.
Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society. But you're telling me that I need to start watching The Boys on Amazon Prime. So that's what I'm going to try to start watching this week when I'm relaxing, is The Boys, from your suggestion and a lot of good talk about. You know, even some of my students have said they've watched it and they really, really like it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I cannot stress how much you need to be as far away from your kids when you watch it, but it's fantastic. It's a really good
one. What are you watching?
Well, goodness. I Lovecraft Country, I think we're caught up on. I'm trying to remember. I think the last episode that we watched after Sunday. So I'm like, okay, I think we're caught up. Keeping up with that. Keeping up with The Boys. We're at a point now where it's like everything we watched, and now we are into those weekly installments. So I'm trying to figure out what to do next. Yeah. The other thing that I saw on HBO Max was Raised by Wolves. Looked kind of interesting. Might give that one a shot. But yeah, I'm not sure. I think that we might just do that. But we close on our house next week, so that's kind of taking precedent. By the time this episode comes out, By the time this episode comes out, we will be one day away from being homeowners. So goodness gracious. So
there's a show you can start watching called This Old House, which appears on PBS, so that way it prepares you for the horrors of owning a house.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, congratulations. You and Jordan.
It's about damn time is what I like to say.
Give that dog a yard to run in.
Yeah, she needs one. All right. Well, until next time, Ben, I'm excited to go watch some Leo movies.
I will, and be excellent to each other.
Excellent. All right, guys, drive home safe.